Listening. Task 1. For items 1 to 10, listen to a radio interview about Gaelic and decide whether the statements 1 to 10 are true, A, or false, B, according to the text you hear. You will hear the text only once. You have 40 seconds to look through the items. Now we begin.
Now to our Language Now slot. My guest today is Bradanna McKinnon, spokesperson for the Society for the Promotion of Gaelic. Thank you for being on our radio program today and indeed on our series on different languages.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Bradanna, I'd like to begin with your name. It's quite unusual. Is it a Celtic word?
Yes, it is. And it's not common. It's a Gaelic word meaning salmon. Just a small point here. Celtic usually refers to the culture. Gaelic is the language.
Thank you, Bradanna. I'll remember that. If you don't mind, I'll get straight to the point. Should we fight to keep a dying language alive, even if few people will ever use it or hear it?
That is something to consider, I suppose. But I'm not sure it's a relevant question here. It's true that in the last 100 years or so, the number of Gaelic-only speakers in Scotland, and I mean people speaking just Gaelic and no English, well, that number has fallen from nearly 44,000 to zero. And yes, Gaelic has declined throughout the 20th century. But it's also true to say that since the 1970s, there has been a revival in the Celtic culture and Gaelic language.
I see. So where do you find that revival? In schools?
Yes, definitely in schools, and that's important. If we have Gaelic medium education at all levels, more people will speak Gaelic. There has been a huge increase in the number of young children being educated in Gaelic in primary schools and nurseries. So, if Gaelic is a dying language, then why are more and more Gaelic schools starting in Scotland?
Good point. But if it's only schools...
Yes, I agree. We need more. If we have more TV and radio programs in Gaelic, more people may listen to the language. Also, if the economy in the Gaelic-speaking heartland improves, then Gaelic will not die out. Opinion polls show that people are more confident in the Gaelic-speaking communities. They feel that the economy is improving. If young people return to live and work in those communities after university, then things will improve.
Well, that all sounds very promising. So what is the Society for the Promotion of Gaelic doing now?
Oh, we have lots going on. Unless we all continue to promote Gaelic, there might not be a significant increase in speakers of Gaelic. But to answer your question, at the moment we're trying to raise our profile. And we have a new fundraising campaign. When we reach our targets, we'll invest in more Gaelic books in public libraries. And as soon as we get more Gaelic speakers involved, we'll run more Gaelic language classes. But unless we recruit and train more Gaelic medium teachers, we won't make a big difference in schools. Basically, our fundraising supports all of that.
To go back to my first question, Bradanna, why should we fight to keep Gaelic alive?
Well, I believe that every language provides us with knowledge about human thinking and behavior. And every language, like every species of animal, is unique and worth protecting. When we lose a language, we lose a lot of knowledge.
Bradanna McKinnon, thank you very much.
You have 40 seconds to check your answers. For items 11 to 15, listen to a conversation and answer the questions. Choose the correct answer A, B, or C to answer questions 11 to 15. You will hear the text only once. You now have 25 seconds to study the questions. Now we begin.
Oh, excuse me. Could you do me a favor and pass the milk jug?
Yes, of course. Here you are.
So, what did you think of the last presentation?
Great, wasn't it? I always enjoy her talks, don't you?
Yes, she really knows how to captivate an audience, doesn't she? But it wasn't exactly what I was expecting.
No? Why is that?
Well, I thought there was going to be a panel discussion at the end.
Oh, I think that's coming up after the coffee break.
Oh, I see. And what do you think of the conference so far?
Not bad. Fewer people than last year, aren't there?
Yes, it must be the venue. Copenhagen isn't exactly the cheapest city to get to, is it?
No, that's true. Do you mind me asking where you are from?
Oh, I'm from the UK, Birmingham. And yourself?
I'm Danish.
Really? Oh, sorry, I didn't realize.
No, that's all right. Copenhagen is expensive, I know.
Well, you speak excellent English, if you don't mind me saying.
Thanks. Actually, my sister's doing research at Cambridge University. So, you know, I visit her often.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. My name is Eric, by the way.
Nice to meet you, Eric. I'm Anita.
Oh, I think we're starting again. Shall we go through?
This is the end of the listening comprehension part. You have 1 minute to complete your answer. Integrated listening and reading. Read the text below, then listen to a news feature on the same topic. You will notice that some ideas coincide and some differ in them. Answer questions 16 to 25 by choosing A, if the idea is expressed in both materials, B, if it can be found in the reading text only, C, if it can be found in the audio recording only, D, if neither of the materials expresses the idea. Now you have 10 minutes to read the text below. Now listen to a news feature on the same topic and then do the tasks 16 to 25, comparing the text above and the talk. You will hear the talk twice. Now we begin.
Well, since the start of the pandemic, a lot of schools have been leaning into tech to help in classrooms. But now the New York City Department of Education is cracking down on a particular tool. Students and teachers can no longer access an artificial intelligence chatbot that generates writing. It's called ChatGPT. This program got really popular. What does it do? And why are New York schools saying, no, we're not going to allow it anymore? So, ChatGPT essentially is a chatbot, which is not a new thing. But this one's really sophisticated in that you can just put in any prompt and it comes out with a really conversational response. Now that bodes really well if you have an essay prompt or a math problem and you want to get it written or solved fast. That's the issue that the schools have here. So the New York City Department of Education giving us this statement is essentially saying that they feel that ChatGPT, this product by OpenAI, does not build critical thinking. It essentially just allows students to input a question and output an answer, and it's not going to build success for them in the future. And there are experts who feel that AI can be very successful in the classroom. But if it is relied on for doing all work and all homework, that's an issue here. And that's what the school system is saying right now. So OpenAI says, obviously, it does not want to let students cheat. It does not want to be a tool for cheating in the future. And they gave us the statement essentially saying that they want to work with educators. They want to be working in tandem with them to make ChatGPT something that can be accessible if it's needed as an education tool, but also has features where a teacher could essentially input, you know, a problem or an essay and find out who did this, AI or a human. So OpenAI essentially says they want to work with these educators in schools to be as helpful as possible, and they don't want to basically be a platform where students are able to cheat.
You'll hear the talk again in 30 seconds. Now listen to the talk again.
Well, since the start of the pandemic, a lot of schools have been leaning into tech to help in classrooms. But now the New York City Department of Education is cracking down on a particular tool. Students and teachers can no longer access an artificial intelligence chatbot that generates writing. It's called ChatGPT. This program got really popular. What does it do? And why are New York schools saying, no, we're not going to allow it anymore? So, ChatGPT essentially is a chatbot, which is not a new thing. But this one's really sophisticated in that you can just put in any prompt and it comes out with a really conversational response. Now, that bodes really well if you have an essay prompt or a math problem and you want to get it written or solved fast. That's the issue that the schools have here. So the New York City Department of Education giving us this statement is essentially saying that they feel that ChatGPT, this product by OpenAI, does not build critical thinking. It essentially just allows students to input a question and output an answer, and it's not going to build success for them in the future. And there are experts who feel that AI can be very successful in the classroom. But if it is relied on for doing all work and all homework, that's an issue here, and that's what the school system is saying right now. So OpenAI says, obviously, it does not want to let students cheat. It does not want to be a tool for cheating in the future. And they gave us the statement essentially saying that they want to work with educators. They want to be working in tandem with them to make ChatGPT something that can be accessible if it's needed as an education tool, but also has features where a teacher could essentially input, you know, a problem or an essay and find out who did this, AI or a human. So OpenAI essentially says they want to work with these educators in schools to be as helpful as possible, and they don't want to basically be a platform where students are able to cheat.
Now you have 5 minutes to finish the task and transfer your answers to the answer sheet. This is the end of the integrated task. Now you can start working on your reading task.